Our text is Luke 24, verses 50 through 53. Luke 24, the very end of the Gospel of Luke. Here we read, "And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Now it came to pass while he blessed them, that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God." Amen. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, there are some experiences that we never forget. And oftentimes, our last impression of a person is the strongest. And so it ought to be with Jesus' ascension into heaven. God didn't want the disciples to forget what happened when Jesus left them. And he doesn't want us to forget either. And thus, Luke ends his gospel by telling us that it was while Jesus was lifting up his hands and blessing them, that it was while that blessing was being given, that Jesus was received into heaven. Now truly, this was an amazing event and mind-boggling. As the Lord Jesus Christ, bodily and visibly, was taken up into heaven before his disciples' eyes. Now, for sure, it's one of the most astonishing things that we find in the Bible. An event as important for our salvation as Good Friday, when Jesus died for our sins. And as significant as Easter, when he rose again. For it's because Jesus has triumphed over sin and death and the powers of hell that Jesus is Lord. And has therefore sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. But what Luke wants us to notice as Jesus ascended, what the Holy Spirit wants us to remember and take great comfort in, are the hands of Jesus as he lifted them in blessing over his disciples. And dear friends, as those hands lifted in blessing, was their last view of the Savior before a cloud hid him from their sight. So we must remember the blessings that our ascended Lord and Savior continues to shower upon us as his church. Do you see those hands? They're lifted up in blessing upon you and me. Upon you and me personally, who through the message of the apostles believe on Jesus' name. Now, as we think of our ascended Lord blessing us, we need to be reminded of how important an event this is and how much this blessing means. For blessing always means the bestowing of something good by God upon his people. Thus, in Genesis 12, God blessed Abraham, and he said, "I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." Because of that blessing, Israel became a great nation, which through Christ has brought the blessings of salvation to the world. That's how powerful, that's how real the blessings of God are. And God also gave his blessings through his self-appointed representatives. Blessings which, again, could not be revoked once they were given. Think of the rich blessing that Isaac pronounced upon Jacob. Even though he thought he was blessing Esau. Think of the beautiful blessings pronounced by Balaam upon Israel, even when he really wanted to curse them. And think of the blessing that the high priest Aaron pronounced upon the people of God, saying, "The Lord bless you and keep you." Your children may remember this as the minister gives this in church. "The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace." With these words, God was assuring his people of his blessing, of his favor, and of his protection. That in spite of trouble, he would enrich their lives and surround them with his favor. And he did. For the face of God is the person of God expressing his love and favor. So that as the smiling face of a mother can show her love and devotion to her child, so the Lord says to us in this benediction, "I love you and you are mine, and I will give you peace." That is fullness of life. This blessing of God was to cover every experience in their lives, in all times and experiences and circumstances, so that they might have that peace that, as Paul says in Philippians 4, surpasses all understanding. And now, here is Jesus, our only high priest and eternal king, blessing us as he goes to the Father. Again, do you see his hands lifted over you? The hands of him who is no mere representative of God, but they are the hands of him who is the Lord himself. And what kind of hands are they? Well, first of all, they are hands of assurance, assuring us of God's forgiveness and favor. Yes, hands of assurance. When Jesus made himself known to his disciples after his resurrection, verse 39 says in Luke that it was by means of his hands and feet. "Look at my hands and feet," he said. "See, it is I myself." Those hands that Jesus raised in blessing when he was blessing his disciples the moment he ascended had nail prints in them, testifying to his perfect obedience and once for all sacrifice for our sins on the cross. For it was by those hands that he bore our curse and the suffering that we deserved by bearing the just wrath of God for all those who repent and believe on him. And that's why those hands are able to bestow, you see, such blessing. For they assure us that our sins are forgiven. That as God's only begotten Son, he has paid for all of our sins. He who is now in heaven, his ascension assures us of that, guarantees that. That means that as 1 John 2 verse 1 says, that if we fall into sin, no matter how great that sin might be, we have one, the apostle says, who speaks to the Father in our defense. He is right there before the face of the Father. He is Jesus Christ, John says, the righteous one, who is the propitiation, the one who turns aside the wrath of God, that we may never experience that. Who is the propitiation for our sins. And therefore, as Hebrews 7:25 says, he is able to save completely or to the uttermost those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. Again, right before the face of his Father. That's where he is doing this interceding. That's why his ascension is so essential. And he intercedes for us not only for the forgiveness of our sins, as great as that is, but in all of our trials, troubles, and weaknesses. He understands us, and he pleads on our behalf. It sounds too good to be true. But on the basis of Jesus' perfect righteousness and merit, we may come before God the Father in prayer, in Jesus' name, at any time, and know that He will hear us and provide for us. So then, as Hebrews 4:16 says, let us approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. As our ascended Lord, who is not ashamed to call us His brothers, Hebrews 2 says, Jesus speaks and acts on our behalf. In fact, Jesus says in John 14, because I am going to the Father, I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. That's the blessing that those nail-scarred hands of our ascended Lord impart, acceptance and access to God in heaven. And one day, we will see those blessed hands. We will see Him whom Revelation 5 verse 6 describes as a lamb looking as if it has been slain, sitting or standing in the center of God's throne. We will see Him in all His glory, with riches and glory that He Himself will bestow upon all of us who believe in Him, who love Him, and who serve Him today and seek to extend His glorious kingdom through our witness of Him in the world. His ascension into heaven is our guarantee of that, that we will share in His glory, that we have access to the Father. For as Jesus says in John 14, in my Father's house are many rooms, and I am going there to prepare a place for you. And I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. Yes, those hands lifted up in blessing are hands of assurance to us, His people. But secondly, because He defeated all His enemies and ours, they are also hands of victory. As Colossians 2 says, having disarmed the powers and authorities, He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. It was at the cross and at the empty tomb that the Son of God laid bare His holy arm and defeated the power of sin and evil. And having sat down at the right hand of God, says Hebrews 10, verse 13, He waits now for His enemies to be made His footstool. Beloved, when we feel and see the power of evil and temptation in us and all around us, and at times getting the best of us, tensions in our homes, in the church, and problems that are just too big for us, including oppressive, persecuting governments, which many of our brothers and sisters in the world are facing. We need to look by faith at those hands lifted over us in blessing and know that Satan, the world, and our own flesh is not going to win the war. We need to look to Him who has conquered. The one who in Matthew 28 said at His ascension, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very close, the very end of the age. Already now, Jesus reigns at God's right hand. Already now, as Revelation 19 says, he is ruling the nations with an iron scepter. And it's because he has overcome that he is able to make us overcome, as he defends us and keeps us safe from all our enemies. Is there any other reason why the church continues to the measure that it has to be so strong and faithful and to grow? Especially where Satan and the world are doing all that they can to obliterate it, neutralize it, and to wipe it out. As Hebrews 2 says, at present we do not see everything subject to him. It's true, but we don't see it yet. The kingdom has not yet come in its fullness. That would be judgment day. Then you'll see it. We do not yet see Christ and those who belong to him having everything under their feet. But we see Jesus. That is, by faith, we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death. You know, what is interesting is that, as Luke tells us, both the agony, that the passion of Jesus, his suffering, and his ascension took place in the same place, on the Mount of Olives. That's where he suffered. You remember that bloody sweat in the garden. And it's from there that Luke tells us he ascended to the right hand of his Father. So it should remind us and encourage us that our suffering and our exaltation lie close together. We now bear a cross. It doesn't look like yet we share in this victorious Lord, but we do. We just read from Colossians 3. We are seated with him. That is our position in Christ. Every Christian, even though right now we are suffering persecution, trial, difficulties, but soon we will wear a crown. Now we bear a cross, but soon a crown. And so Jesus' ascension guarantees us of our ultimate victory when he comes again to be revealed in blazing fire with his powerful angels to punish those who do not know God, as 2 Thessalonians 1 says, and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to be glorified when he comes to be glorified in his holy people. His ascension, Jesus' ascension, guarantees this. For as the angels told his disciples in Acts 1, this same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. That is, visibly. Bodily, we will see him. And until that day of incomprehensible glory, we can know that he is blessing us in our work and in our lives with hands that rule the world, with hands of victory. And that's why, thirdly and lastly, his hands of blessing are also hands of power. Now, what do you mean by what power? The power of the Holy Spirit, whom Jesus would send upon his church. In John 14, Jesus said to his disciples, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. That comforter is the person of God himself, who on the day of Pentecost came to breathe the life of God into his people, to make our lives fruitful and to enable us to tell others about Jesus through a life that glorifies God. As Jesus said in Acts 1, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." What a tremendous blessing. For by the presence of the Holy Spirit within us, we not only have a guarantee and foretaste of the infinite glory and joy of heaven to come, but we are enabled today to promote the coming of God's kingdom through the gifts and abilities He gives us by His Spirit. Gifts of proclaiming God's Word, of serving in many areas of the church and its work, whether outreach or whatever, in teaching, in encouraging, in contributing to the needs of others, of leadership, and of showing mercy, just to name a few, that the body of Christ may be built up and its glorious mission of proclaiming Christ advanced. And in our church, it is evident these gifts have been given. They have been given and poured out richly. And we are called to use them gladly in His service. If you're a believer, then you have the Holy Spirit. And you've been given some gift, and probably more than one, for the purpose of serving others and of witnessing for Christ. So by the Spirit's power, we make the goal of our lives not earthly things. Because this isn't where our life is to be found. But we make the things above, where Christ is seated at God's right hand, the coming of His kingdom, the goal of our lives. Those hands of Jesus raised in blessing remind us of the great work Jesus is accomplishing by the Holy Spirit in and through His church. And that's why we need, by God's grace, to bring people into the fellowship of the church. That's the aim of our Bible study groups, of our witnessing to our neighbors and our co-workers, and of all of our mission activity. For there alone is the blessing and power of God to live new lives. That power, says Ephesians 1, is like the working of God's mighty strength, which He exerted in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in this present age, but in the age to come. And God placed all things under His feet and appointed Him to be head over everything for the church, which is His body. It's for the church, for you and I, that Jesus ascended, you see, blessing us with hands of assurance, of victory, and of power. That's the way His disciples saw Him until a cloud obscured their view. But they knew that even above that cloud, those hands were still extended and pouring out His blessings, showers of blessings for His people, in joy and in sorrow, under persecution and distress, upon young and old, upon the lowly and destitute, upon those struggling with temptations and trials. In all of this, are you looking up to our ascended Lord? Do you see by faith His hands extended in blessing upon you? Hear Him say, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Before this point, the disciples were lost. They were distressed when Jesus left them. But now, Luke says, they worshiped Him. And they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually in the temple praising God. And so the Gospel of Luke ends where it began, in the temple, the dwelling place of God. And so the ascension of our blessed Lord is the guarantee one day of a restored creation as the temple of God. When, as Revelation 21 says, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. That's what Jesus' ascension guarantees. What we just read there is the next thing on the agenda of our ascended Lord. Under the blessing of our ascended Lord, we are already now, though, raised up with him to know the life and glory of God, to know his favor, victory, and power in our lives. For as Jesus says, in this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Amen.